I'm Dr. Sarah, a licensed chiropractor.
And I'm Val, clinical research enthusiast and international board-certified lactation consultant.
We are passionate about helping you navigate women's health and wellness topics naturally.
We bring the information and options
so you can make empowered choices.
This is the Empowered Women podcast. Just a reminder, the information contained in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or illness or be taken as medical advice. Always check with your healthcare provider for medical advice. Anyway, what is the topic we're covering today?
Today we're covering communication.
Sharing the mental and physical load, right? Mm-hmm.
Who wanted us to do this topic? My husband.
Your husband. Oh. That's right. He did come up with this topic, and mm-hmm. It's a good one, especially good amongst one. Partners.
It's a good one because we're finding now that with this new season of him owning a business, and I also own the business, owning this new office, having a baby on the way, and having a toddler opens up new avenues of communication.
Mm-hmm. Because,
or lack thereof, because we notice that the things that maybe we did not like about each other but never communicated are now a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because now things are much more higher stakes.
Yeah.
We have to actually talk about it
mm-hmm.
and like recognize patterns.
Well, why don't we go back to like, so if people listening don't have children together or don't mm-hmm. have children, I feel like there is a bit of a difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you have a partner or a shared life partner and you like decide to like, get serious with them, and maybe you guys live together or maybe you don't, and then maybe you get married, and people just fall into roles.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I think, and anybody that's ever been in a serious relationship or lived with someone or married or divorced understands this. People start falling into roles, and then those roles just become the expectation, I think, of the other person or partner.
Mm-hmm.
And it just starts to do this thing. So like maybe you were always the person cleaning and doing the dishes and the laundry, but then like somebody got a different job where they're working all the time, or somebody started a business, or you have a child
mm-hmm.
or you have
a pet, even a pet.
Yes. The shared
responsibility. A pet.
Yes.
Like,
it's a lot of work. Yeah.
It's a lot of work. When we got Gambit, like Mike, literally, we called him the poop guy
mm-hmm.
because Gambit wanted me for everything else, but you got to go to the bathroom. Mike was that role.
Yep.
You go for walks, you pick up the poop. You're the poop guy. Ironically, he's Eli's poop guy too.
Yeah.
So.
And it's like people fall into these roles, and then sometimes it's not where it doesn't always work, right? Like
right.
It's not, I think like what we forget is our responsibilities and our roles when we get into a partnership are not stagnant. They become stagnant, and then we need to realize like maybe they're not always going to be stagnant, which is very difficult for both parties, I think, to accept.
So let's make this interesting.
Let's do it. What do you want to say?
What about Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately drives you nuts that has been communicated and maybe has changed or has been communicated and it's still a work in progress. I have my thing and Mike knows it. Obviously, it's been communicated. I can go first.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm thinking.
Mike is highly defensive when you bring something up. And then it comes back down to walking backwards.
Yeah.
to get to the root of why the defense is there to begin with.
Right.
So the conversation gets heightened sense of emotion just to be walked backwards. And then it's like, oh yeah, you're right. And not that I need to be right, because I do not need to be right. But it's a matter of like, we both don't need to be angry right now if you didn't get defensive to begin with. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even know when he's getting defensive.
Yeah.
It's not even a tone of voice. It's a whole face shift.
Oh, yeah. I get angry. I get loud and like angry. And he's like, why are you angry about it? And I'm like, I'm not. It's just the way I talk. And he's like, no, you're angry.
You're angry.
Not the way you talk. I don't like being told like when I have to do things on somebody else's timeline. I like my own timeline. And Chris is very regimented and organized and together and clean. And he likes things early and he likes things like very structured. And like, it's a beautiful thing, but it's not how I like to operate. I have my own structure and process, and I don't like being told like, I need this, or can you do this like by this date, or like he'll ask me over and over and then I get like mad. But he's like, I need that. Like, you didn't give it to me. And I'm like, but you know, I know. And I just haven't done it. Like, it's like, you know, I know I'm a big girl. Like, we talked about it 10 times and I haven't gotten it to you because I just haven't gotten around to doing it, or I don't want to do it yet. So when I do it on my time, I will give it to you, or I will do that thing then. But
so is this something that has gotten better, even though it's been addressed?
I don't know. I think.
Or how do you come down from that conversation?
I feel like it always comes back to, in my mind, when you're with somebody and you're sharing a life with somebody.
So how long have you been together?
A long time. I mean, we've been married 10
the
years.
Calculation.
We were engaged a year, we dated a year, and we've been married 10. So like 12, but I've known him since we were 12. So it's very different. Like, but we've only dated like, you know, for that. So, I mean, I would say like romantically, it's been like a 12-year span if you include the marriage. But like, I think there's growing together and changing together, which is a completely different thing from what we're talking about, but not really.
It's not
understanding somebody's needs and trying to meet them where they're at, or understanding your needs and trying to get them met like in a mature way. I also think that sometimes you really have to understand like somebody is the way that they are, and they maybe aren't going to change. Like, I hate to say that, but like, it also comes down to like,
no, it's reality.
You chose to love this person for every part of them and their flaws. And you can't change people's like, I think when people go, this is like the whole problem with like relationships sometimes, right? Or one of the problems is like, you go into something thinking someone, it's not going to be an issue, or it won't be a problem down the line, or they're going to change something. That might not necessarily ever be the case unless they see it as a problem for themselves that needs to be changed.
Well, I mean, in reality, we do have core values within ourselves that are there, right? Mm-hmm. And like, even if it gets better, they're still there. And a lot of that comes back down to like childhood trauma, or like, whether you want to call it trauma or not. I mean, it might not necessarily be trauma, but it's like childhood upbringing. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. So like, I know in our household, it's like, I can look around and there are literally 800 things that could be done. 800 things. But unless Mike has a list, he has no idea.
Yeah. Or he's like, yeah, I don't know what needs to. Yeah.
But Mike didn't do chores or like housework growing up. So it's not something he even thinks about.
I think you said something earlier that is huge, that is a big piece of this, and where most situations start to break down, because there is that burden of responsibility, physical, you know, things that have to actually be done, and the emotional. There is an emotional burden as adults and as parents especially that gets taken on. Mm-hmm. You know, and as women, we do take on a lot of that. Not right. that men don't, or it's a different type of mental and emotional load, but we end up taking on, I think, a lot of the children and the emotional worry and stuff like that. But I think it comes down to, you said, communication. So the only way to shift the burden of responsibility for the emotional worries or the physical things that have to be done is to actually talk about it and communicate what's happening. And that's where it doesn't get resolved, because then people just don't talk about it and it stays a problem.
We were talking about like social media and like prompting, or like how they prompt things to you,
mm-hmm.
right? Like they do the algorithm and you get shown these videos on repeat.
Yeah.
One thing that has actually helped us with communication is taking a reel and sending it to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sit there and we watch it together.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever, sometimes I feel like when you are constantly telling somebody the same thing over and over and over and over and over again,
too. Yeah.
You feel like you're nagging, you feel like you're parenting another person. But if they hear it from somebody else and see that this is just like an issue amongst relationships, then mm-hmm. it's like, oh, it's not just me. Other people do behave this way, but mm-hmm. this is how you can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, this is what I've been trying to tell you, but it doesn't come out clearly because I'm also telling you 8 other things at the same time.
There's also, I don't think partners or people in relationships, no matter how serious it is, I think if you're living together, this is probably crucial, or if you want to have any type of lifelong commitment. Couples therapy and counseling and just going to talk to somebody is so valuable. And I don't think it should be something that's looked at as this like thing for just people that need help. Because every single relationship needs some kind of help. All right. Yeah. Like none of our marriages or nobody's situation is perfect. Like everybody's, like you said, carrying things around with them, you know, that you either haven't worked through, or you work through, or you haven't resolved. Is it always something that needs to be worked through? Like, maybe not. But I don't think people should underestimate how powerful it is to go talk to a third-party professional that can just help you communicate with each other.
I mean, something I've picked up in my adult life is that, like, my parents are still married. They've been together since they were 16. Like, they have a great relationship, yeah, especially, like, in this, like, later phase of life. But now, and I always compared my relationships to them because I viewed it as this like idealistic thing.
Yes.
Now as an adult, and as they speak to me more about the other person,
mm-hmm.
I realize that like there's like, they still have like issues that have probably been there for a long time. And it's just like,
yeah,
we don't talk about it.
There's
no perfect relationship.
There's no perfect partnership. There's no perfect relationship. Like, I think you see things from the outside and you idealize what you think you want. Like, not just people in general. People idealize what they think they want or what they want to have. And the reality of it is it's just, it's work. Like, every yeah. single day, you know, it's, I don't know if I cut out there, but it's just something that has to constantly be worked at and on. And I think the thing is both people have to be moving in the same direction together. You know, there has to be evolution and not like everyone staying stagnant.
I mean, like one thing that they did and why I thought that like they were always on the same page is that they never argued in front of us. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was like whenever I had a child, I'm like, we don't argue in front of Eli. But as I was talking to a patient, she was like, no, like you should have disagreements in front of your children because then they see the resolution.
And it's healthy to work to see how healthy relationships work through issues and arguments. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because the issue, the resolution is more important than the issue, right?
Right.
So we'd be teaching our kids that. But like if you don't have kids, it's very, or you don't have somebody just like watching you. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to take an argument, escalate it. Mm-hmm. I'm very quick to anger. Right. I think we've talked about this.
Yeah.
Super quick to anger. And I've had to like catch myself in mm-hmm. my voice because Mike shuts down and he does not listen if I
just start ranting.
Or he doesn't communicate back. And then I have to be like, do you have anything to say? Well, he probably would if he didn't feel intimidated by me screaming at him.
Right.
Like, so I've had to learn, especially in the last 2 years, how to like keep myself chill mm-hmm. and walk away from him if he needs space, because he slowly processes things and I process things like,
yeah, differently,
super quickly.
A lot of people, this is worth mentioning, and this is very mainstream right now. I think a lot of people know about this, but it's really important to know your partner's love language.
I was just going to ask, do you subscribe to that?
We 1000% subscribe to that. And after I learned our love languages, it was like, it clicked for me and I automatically understood where the differences were. I also cried when I found out mine because I didn't think that was mine. And I was actually really disappointed. So that sounds so dumb. And a friend of mine, it was her husband and I was at their place of business and the book was there and I took it. And I said to him, like, I got like tears in my eyes. I was like, is it stupid that I'm like so disappointed? Because so mine is actually physical touch. And
oh, that's very surprising to me.
As a woman, that's not super common. There are women that have obviously physical touch is their love language. But like one of our biggest like gripes is Chris is not a physical acts, a public display of acts of affection. And like, I am very physical, like a physical part of a relationship has always been extremely important to me. So like, it like bothers me, you know, when my partners are not like very physical in many ways. So like, for me, I literally have to say to him, like, I like, you need to love me. Like you, like, I need a hug. Like, you know, we need to be physical more often. Like, this is not okay for me because this is how I feel loved. Yes. And like, I was so pissed because I was like, why is this? But it made sense in my whole, and I thought about back through all my other relationships and I was like, oh my God, like I am totally like physical touch. And he's acts of service. And what irritates the piss out of me is he is not physical and I hate doing crap. And like, we joke all the time. I'm like, how? Because we have a good marriage, in my opinion, and I think in his opinion. And I say to him, how the hell does this work? Because neither one of us can cater the other person's, but we have to do it. Like, we have to work at it. Yes. Like, I know the little
marriage is work.
Yes. I know his is acts of service. I know the things that make him happy. I know what makes him, you know, in a good mood. Like, you know, and he knows what makes me happy. Like, I could give a crap if the toilets are clean. Like, that's amazing that you like love to do that stuff. I'm sure many, but like, that's not what, like, you know, it'll get done. Like, that's not what
Yeah.
I think everyone should learn their love language and their partners and learn how they give and receive love, because it will make you, I feel like, a little bit more understanding at least.
I feel like in my mature relationship, mm-hmm. my love language changed. Mm. So I valued physical touch mm-hmm. in every other relationship until I met Mike.
Yeah.
And I think I subconsciously associate it to the fact to like those relationships were super unhealthy and they relied on physicality.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
And so for me, sometimes I'm like I should be more physical. However, it's like, it's burned and mm-hmm. like has hurt me in the past. Mm-hmm. So I like my whole dynamic, it just switched and I'm more of like, I need to spend time together. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be doing anything.
Yeah. just be together.
I just want to be together.
Which is hard. So I was talking with a friend about this last night. It's very difficult because the lack of time in modern society and in modern families, and just for parents in general, after you have children, for your, not only yourself, but your relationship is so minimal. Like, it is so minimal and it is so hard. You lose each other and you don't even realize it in the day to day, in the month to month, in the, and it's not like you don't want to be together or you're not screaming for time together. It's that it physically can't happen because it's not an option. Like, and you're like trying to find pockets of time, you know, to share this person, you know,
it's like every other aspect of their life,
And it's hard. So I think the love languages is something that people, besides like talk therapy and communicating with each other, we talked about, but the love languages book is just super helpful.
Mike says physical touch.
So a lot of men, so a lot of men are
wild.
A lot of men are physical, which makes sense. But then it made me feel like irritated with myself. I was like, I'm not even going to say what I thought when I wrote like, you're really like, it's just like, so, it's like, you're like, well, but it's funny because I don't physically care to be like, I'm not physical, overly physical with people.
No,
like, I'm not a love, like, I'm not like a lovey, like fuzzy, like, you know, I'm like a to the point, you know, I'm a red green, like, I am not, I'm like, just shoot straight, like, give me the facts, like, we don't need to, like, I like to talk about life, but we don't need to, like, willy nilly, like, let's just get to it.
Right.
But with my partners, physical touch is important, but like, I can't, when people want to be like lovey with me, like, that are like, you know, family or like friend, I'm just like, okay, like,
enough of that.
It's funny. I don't know. I think you can also, go ahead.
I think you can have more than one though too.
You can. And the way like, you receive and give it can are different usually.
Yeah. I the way I give is through acts of service. So I like to cook meals and I like to like get things done and be like, hey, I did this for you.
That makes sense.
I know.
You're in a service.
Because of what I do.
Yeah, you serve. Yeah, that's serve. Awesome. Yeah.
But, like, those things don't necessarily matter to Mike, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter to him because he wouldn't go out of his way to do it himself, which is so funny because when I want to spend time together and we do a project, like today we were purging the house and he was like, this just feels good. Yeah, it would feel excellent if, like, you went out of your way and did some of this stuff without me having to tell you, though.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think we can also find other ways to, I don't know, sometimes it's hard for people to communicate their needs.
Again, in a more mature relationship, like, with Mike, like, every year I feel like I grow a little bit more in my communication skills. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I feel like that comes down to the places I've worked.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I had adult conversations sometimes. Yeah.
I've been a people pleaser my entire freaking life, which has gotten me into, like, terrible relationships, has had me hold on to terrible relationships, terrible jobs, and now that I'm like, okay, well, this is like not correct. I need to stand up for myself. Now I realize like it's not scary to confront things.
Right.
If anything, you stop having that little voice in the back of your head all the time making up conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And I just go to Mike right away whenever I need something to talk about. And he's not always willing to receive it where the defensiveness can come from.
That's what I was going to say. It prevents, well,
I feel like we need to give him an agenda before we start talking so he knows what we're going to talk about. And then he can process it.
Maybe you should write notes down and pass it to him and be like, these are the bullet points. Okay, prep yourself.
I think he would appreciate that.
He would. So I was going to say, sometimes it's hard to find the words or to communicate what you need, or sometimes you're like embarrassed or ashamed, or you know, feel guilty, or you're like, how do I tell this person this? I'm like, write it down. Like, I know that sounds ridiculous, but I used to write Chris emails when I was like so angry or upset, and then you're like bottling up it inside, and I would just avoid or ignore. And like, we would be mad at each other, and I just wouldn't talk to him. And I'm like, okay, I have to like get it out.
Yeah.
This is the only way I can say it. So, okay. And like you said, as you get older, like obviously you should be able to have mature conversations, but like, I remember when we got married, the officiant had like a whole bunch of things we could pick from. And we created the ceremony with all these things that he had for us. And one of them was this like rose ceremony. And we were supposed to plant a rose bush 10 years ago when we got married. And the whole concept was, when it's too hard to talk about it, or like the feelings are too big, or like you need to say, I'm sorry, but you can't, you're supposed to just put like, give the person the rose and be like, this is like my peace offering. I know we need to like deal with this. Like, I love you. I'm sorry. And like, after that, you can deal with it. But like, sometimes the words are just too hard. Or maybe there shouldn't be words yet. Because a lot of times I find like, if I'm too angry or it's like boiling inside, I'm like, if I just word vomit now, you know, you're like, I'm going to say things that don't even need to be said, or like, just, you won't stick to just the issue at hand. It's like, you're just letting it all out.
Do you feel physical tension in a room when you're super mad at somebody?
Yes. Yeah.
Like you can't even.
I can't function. It's like,
It feels like this, like a wall.
Yeah.
But then like, my longest relationship before Mike, we had like a lot of issues. And whenever we would argue, I could just feel that physical. And it almost felt like you were like pushing through gelatin. Mm-hmm. You were so mad. But I would get such anxiety that I would have to talk about it in that moment. And like all this other shit that didn't matter would come out.
Yeah. And then it just made, I know.
But like, I can't be like, because I care, I value my relationship with Mike so much, I have to walk away because I physically cannot be near him. And I don't have the anxiety over talking to him. So I know I can come down without like it all falling apart.
Yeah.
And I feel like those little signs of just being afraid to talk to somebody, like, it is something to like pick up on. We talk about red flags all the time, but like, not that it makes it a bad thing. Maybe that's just how you process things. But like, if there's an anxiety attached to like, maybe I'm the problem, it's like, you're both in this relationship.
Mm-hmm. So what else? I'm trying to think of anything else that's like, could be helpful when you're trying to like,
I think just understanding yourself. Taking a step back and like understanding yourself.
And like, okay, personal development has become all the rage. And I'm a huge fan for personal and professional development. Like, definitely a huge fan. I think most people don't even do it or have resources that they like, because nobody actually thinks they need to work on themselves. Yeah. I would say, or the majority of the population. I think there's a small subset of us that are really into personal development, right? And then I'm not saying it worked, like I'm not saying it's improved. I mean, maybe it has improved things, but then you have to implement it.
Right.
Like, you actually have to do the work. Like, so you need to learn yourself. You need to develop yourself like personally and work on who you are, and then bring it to the table in your partnership.
I think one of the biggest things that I've done is like, I've stopped being somebody that I'm not. Like, I've stopped agreeing with people for the sake of agreeing with people because it doesn't feel authentic anymore.
Right.
So, you know, especially in my career, when people don't take my recommendations, or I don't agree with what they're doing, in the past, I wouldn't really say anything. Mm-hmm. But now I have to confront people all the time because, you know, it's their lives at stake. Their health is at stake. So, like, if I can't talk to them about that, then who is?
Right.
So, like, I think I've brought that back into my personal life. But I know some people are different at work than they are at home. Mm-hmm. Why work so hard to be somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think you need personal development, then you probably need it more than most.
Right. Because we all are if we're not evolving and we're not investing in ourselves, we're not growing.
Mm-mm.
Like, and if we're not, like,
Mike says all the time, do you think we would have dated in high school? And I said, no, you would have hated me.
You would have hated me.
He yeah. would have hated me. I was an emotional wrecking ball.
It goes back to, like, there's always going to be core things about who you right. are. And, like, there's people are always going to be, like, there's always going to be certain parts of you that are, no one's asking, like, it's, there's certain things you can't change, or there's certain things that maybe you're not willing to change, like whatever the case, you know, or how you've been conditioned. We've all been conditioned. But I think, you know, just on a surface level, there's all kinds of tweaks that we can all make as human beings to interact better with everyone around us, not just our partners.
You know, something that I've done, and honestly, I've canceled this subscription, but they now have, like, these subscriptions where you can take books and do, like, a 15-minute synopsis of the entire book. And if you like the book, then you can, like, read the whole thing.
I like it's that.
It's called Headway.
Really?
But if you're interested in personal development and you don't want to buy all these books, you can literally read, like, an 8-to-10-page synopsis. And if you really like it, then you can, like, read the whole book. But I've learned more in, like, some of those 15-minute synopsises than, like, a lot of my, like, deep diving into things. And it's allowed me to focus on, like, different leadership skills and different personal development skills. And I won't do, like, hard research through it. But when it comes to just, like, me,
mm-hmm.
that's something I've done in the last 2 years to really work on, like, those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say something and I can't remember. We were talking about, podcasts are free. Okay.
Yeah.
I listen to so many personal development and educational podcasts. So it's like, even if you don't spend money, most people yeah. have a phone. So, like, there's lots of personal development podcasts or, you know, things that, you know, you can listen to that are to work on yourself and relationship yeah. ones too.
Listen to things at, like, 3 times the speed. You'll get through it really fast and you'll pick up something.
Well, and then, you know, I think it's also being mature enough to understand and know, like, maybe when you need to throw in the towel.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always going to be that piece of it, right? For people or some partnerships or some relationships. And I'm sure people that are divorced or have been remarried, you know, that are listening, understand this or have chosen to go that route, or maybe it wasn't their choice, but, like, there comes a time where you have to say, like, okay, well, maybe this person isn't evolving with me or doing enough of the shared responsibilities.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not hearing me. Like, maybe, you know, they don't understand. Maybe they can't be who I need them to be, right? Like, and that sucks, but.
And I think that comes back to what you said about counseling before. Counseling yeah. shouldn't be your last resort before divorce. Like, if you want to work on yourselves and work on your relationship, even at the hint of, like, drama, like, mm-hmm. that's something worthwhile. Right. Even in, like, if you're not married, if you're just in, you know, a long-term relationship, it could be extremely beneficial.
Well, and I will say this. I think everybody in relationships that has children knows this, but children don't fix anything.
Oh.
I think that's a big misconception, especially when they're younger or they're having issues in a partnership or a relationship, like, I want to have a baby, like, let's have a baby. Like, if there is any if there are any issues or anything that can't be shared or communicated or worked out before, having children is just going to not only exacerbate the situation, but it's also going to highlight every negative trait about both of you that have ever existed and combine it into a tiny person and then throw it back in both of your faces, just so everybody's clear.
So this is like total like theory, but I do know a couple who it was very evident they were having like problems. And then they had a child, and the way she treats said child is much, 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 much different than the way she treats the first two. And it's like, there's a lot to be said from a child that's like created out of love and respect, and like compared to like a reminder that things were not good and this was trying to be like a fix.
It's hard. It's really hard. I don't know. I mean, having kids is so wonderful, but I think it then has you have to work even harder, I think, to, you know, correct what's not there, because you also, like you said before, it's demonstrating to young people what healthy should look like, you know, or what normal relationships are and how adults work through issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, like issues don't just go away because mm-hmm. there's a new factor there.
Mm-hmm.
They become amplified. Even if you're ecstatic and you're so excited and you're like ready for this new life change,
mm-hmm.
those issues that you never worked on, they're still there.
So we talked about the emotional stuff and some of the like, oh, you know, when it bothers you that partners don't do X, Y, or Z. So like, that's a big issue too, Sarah. Like the mm-hmm. physical load and burden that comes from day-to-day life and also having children, or if there's not children, just living together. Like, how do you think people can make that better? Like, how, besides communicating, like...
I think really just finding what works, right? Like, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Mm-hmm. If I continuously like ask Mike to do 8,000 things and never write a single thing down, he'll do maybe one of those and I won't acknowledge the one thing.
I was going to say, right, like make a list or a plan of who's mm-hmm. doing what and when mm-hmm. or a calendar.
We use Google Keeps. We have one for the office and we have one for the home. So we communicate on there throughout the day, especially mm-hmm. for like office things.
Mm-hmm.
He checks things off. We like discuss things and we know that we're getting things done. But when you introduce a new system like that, yeah, it might work for 2 weeks. But if you're not consistently working on that or reminding each other, hey, I do need you to check that throughout the day because you won't get a notification or, you know, set it to notify you. But like, this is something we're trying to do to work on our marriage. So like, just a reminder until it becomes routine. And he needs a list.
We use Google. Chris and I have been using Google account, like a shared calendar, for like years. And part of the issue with it initially was him having a problem with me not keeping it up to date. Because he's like, this is a good solution for us. You just have to make sure everything gets on the calendar. And mm-hmm. then it would be like Friday and we'd have like a family party on Sunday, but I never added it. And he's uh-huh. like, Val, the point of the calendar. And I'm like, ah. So honestly, we are just in such a like, we're so used to it now. Like as soon as something gets scheduled or happens, it's on the shared calendar. Yep. Yes. And it's up to date and there's no issues. And the nice thing is we put our work appointments on there. So Chris's entire work schedule is there every day. When I have a consult, it's on there. When I'm going out and doing personal stuff, it's scheduled on there. If he wants to go golfing in 2 weeks, and it's like, there's no surprises. Like, so we know when that other person is going to need to have the children, or maybe I have to get a babysitter. Or can you call your parents and get a sitter? Because it looks like we're both not going to be here. Like,
yeah, that we put Mike's office schedule onto my computer
mm-hmm.
so that I know if he's available for a phone call in the middle of the day or not. Because, like, right. A pet peeve of mine is, like, to call and, like, to not get a response because he does not check his phone 8,000 times a day. And, like, that is irritating to me. It makes me feel like I'm being ignored. But if he's in appointments back to back.
Yeah, I know. It's it's hard.
And if I know that just by looking at his schedule, then it eliminates the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the task. I love the appointments. I love the share calendar. I was going to say something else. When I think, like I said before, people fall into roles within mm-hmm. the home, whether they're, I'm not getting into gender specifics or not, because I think people do both. Like, that's so outdated to me. But a lot of times women feel like they take the brunt, you know, or they do take the brunt of the responsibilities. Mm-hmm. I just stop expecting things from the other person. Like, I think that's the other thing. Like, we can't just have expectations like that it's going to get done or the other person's going to do it. I think we have to clarify with the other person, like, are you doing this or am I doing this?
Right.
And the other thing is if you see your partner doing something and it is a household task, like, just jump in and help. If you can physically jump in and help and the kids are occupied, or you guys, hey, if you don't have kids, there's absolutely no reason you should be watching your partner walk around cleaning or vacuuming or doing laundry. Like, you don't have any little ones to watch. You better jump in and throw a load in or start folding.
You like, know,
what's I'm not, funny? You know, it is not okay. Like, sometimes I see Chris work all day and he's so tired and he leaves early and he comes home late and he's in the freaking laundry room folding laundry and it like breaks my heart. I know that sounds like ridiculous, but like, I'm not the laundry person. He is. And it's like, what can I do to start like helping? You know, it's literally like, I feel bad. Like, I should be helping him. And like the same thing, like if he sees me start complaining or I'm cleaning or I'm like really upset and I'm like, I have so much to do and I can't, like, he takes the kids or he starts doing stuff. Like, just help the other person. It is not the other person's responsibility to do everything. And I think we all have to remember that. And it's so hard. So hard.
I will add to that and say, don't jump in on the task that they're doing.
You sound like my husband. He's like, don't touch the laundry. What do you think you're doing? And no, I'm like, I'm helping. Like, he's like, your helping sucks. Like, stop helping.
No. It's like, if I'm mad because I see that nothing is getting done and I start on a task in the other room.
Different task. Yeah, because then I'm just, then you're just going to be mad.
Like, start on a task in a different room, and I'd be like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You do see I'm doing something. You are adding to it. But now we have two tasks getting done, and not one task, maybe a little bit faster.
But the other thing that I wanted to bring up that I also think gets overlooked for women a lot of the time, or it every adult in your living space needs self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you, if there's mm-hmm. two of you or more, I don't, whatever people's situations are, especially if you have children. I can't mm-hmm. tell you how many times like friends or other mothers say their husband goes to the gym all the time and goes to work and then goes to the gym and doesn't even think about the fact that they want to go for a run or they need time to work out. Or everybody that's an adult there needs self-care. Do not think that it's just the other person's responsibility to handle everything else or the children. And
I just want to make about this
yourself. Like, no, like the both partners should be able to say to each other, like, I need to do this for myself. I'm going to do this. Or the other one can say, can I do this after or in the morning? Or
I'll even step that up and say, if you recognize that you are the partner that gets that time,
yep.
carve it out for your partner. Like, mm-hmm. Mike is more than willing to, like, hey, why don't you go to an hour yoga class
mm-hmm.
and then blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But it was maybe 6 weeks ago, he had a major, like, mental breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and Mike doesn't show emotion, so I knew it was, like, to the point where he was overwhelmed. And I said, like, what do you need? I don't know what I need. Mike, you don't make any time for yourself. Like, do you need me to carve time out for you? Something that I've been, because I'm pregnant and I'm really tired all the time, he thinks that I should just be resting. I get extra time to sleep in the morning. He'll take Eli and blah, 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 blah. And because I'm feeling better, I keep saying to him, I'm a parent too. Mm-hmm. You need to walk away, and he starts crying. That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm his parent too. I can give you time for yourself.
Yeah. It's hard. I think sometimes we get super selfish and wrapped up in ourselves, and then other times we're not, but we don't realize that the other person is willing to help or would help if we said something.
Yes.
Again, it comes down to communication. The communication breakdown is usually the thing that can 9 times out of 10, I feel like, be pointed to when it comes to sharing the physical and emotional load of parenthood and life, you know, and relationships.
The last thing that I'm going to suggest, if you are the communicator and your partner is not, like Mike is not the communicator, I have to ask him questions. It's almost like maybe it's because we give Eli a choice, right? So we don't directly tell him, no, like, you need your diaper changed. Do you want to get it changed in the bedroom or the living room? So with Mike, it's like, I see that this is happening. Is it because of this or is it because of this?
Right.
And then it allows him to be like, well, it's not one of those things. And it definitely is this underlying issue, but it's really hard for him to articulate things. Like, vocabulary is not his strong suit. Communication is not his strong suit. But I'm better at it. So I try to break it down for him so that he can relay his feelings, because I can't be the one guessing all the time.
This is something that I started doing. I don't do it often, but I realized a long time ago, and it made me really uncomfortable at first. And I don't know why. Maybe because I was afraid of the answer. And I mean, I think initially that's why, like, I was afraid of the answer. I'm not afraid of the answer anymore, but I do ask occasionally. And I think it's really important, if you're in any type of partnership, to occasionally say to your partner, and I try to do this, are you happy?
Oh, yeah.
Are you happy? I say that. And what makes you happy? Like, if we're planning something or we're doing something, it's like, well, do you want to do this though? Like, does this make you happy? Because I think sometimes there's a lot of bending and caving, and it can always be like one person in the partnership or the other. It could go back and forth, but it's hard for us to hear the truth sometimes. But I think if we ask those really uncomfortable, difficult questions, you can resolve a lot. Like, you can get to the bottom of it. It's like, you know, and I still, it's not often, but every now and then, if we have a moment alone, it's just like, are you happy, hon? Like, what makes Chris happy? You know, it's like, it sounds so corny, but like, when he does that for me, or if somebody were to do that for me, like, it feels like you're so seen and loved, and the other person actually wants to make sure that they help make you happy.
Yeah. And it's not that somebody should be the person that makes you happy, but they should contribute to it.
Yes. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
Is responsible for your happiness. But I mean, in our part, I'm asking, like, in our relationship.
Yeah.
What can I do? Like, what do you need? And sometimes we are stretched so thin, we've given all we can, and it's okay to say that. Like, there's times where you just have a mental or emotional breakdown and you're like, I can't physically give or do anymore. And I say that, there are times I say that all the time. And like you're saying, Sarah, you're pregnant, or during my pregnancy or postpartum, like, I would just flat out be like, these are my limits. Do not expect anything more than X, Y, and Z from me, especially in these time frames during the week. I am sorry. This is all I can do.
Yep.
It's like, as long as the person like hears that and understands
clear expectations.
Yes. Like, And sometimes we can be the other party, right? And we can raise them for, I think we need to remember, it's never going to be 50-50. I realized this a long time ago when I got very serious, and like we knew, like as soon as we started dating, like this was going to be the person. But I realized that it was never going to be 50-50.
No.
There's going to be ebb and flow, and somebody is going to always be doing more. So maybe he's the 90 and I'm the 10 sometimes. Maybe it's 70-30. Maybe I can be the 60 and you can be the 40 sometimes.
Right. Like, right.
The point is you have to realize that, and then you need to know when you need to be the one to step it up.
Yeah, or if you needed one to step back.
Yes. Yes.
If you like this episode, subscribe. But honestly, we want to hear from other people. Like,
yeah.
What works in your relationships? What have you found to like make things better in your relationships, or what definitely did not work and what you learned from that? I think that'd be really good to hear.
Yes, we want to hear your comments. What works for your partnerships? We are by no means relationship experts.
No, not at all.
To chat about this little topic today.
Thanks, Mike, for the suggestion.
Yes, thank you, Mike.
All right, we will see you next Tuesday.
Bye, Dr. Sarah.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more like it, make sure you subscribe to the Empowered Women Pod and rate us 5 stars. Please feel free to also write a review on the podcast. It really does help to spread the Empowered Women message, and it moves us up in the podcast rankings. Plus, we love to hear from our listeners. You can follow us on Instagram at Empowered Women Pod, or if you have a question and want to reach out to Val or I, you can email us at empoweredwomenpod@icloud.com.